Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. 80% of Australians will experience some form of back pain in their lifetime. It's the leading cause of disability globally. Only a small proportion requires surgery, but making sure those patients see a surgeon in a timely manner can be a problem. Dr. John Moy is a rheumatologist and is director of the Back Pain Assessment Clinic at the Royal Melbourne Hospital. John is my special guest on the pod today. 80% of Australians will experience some lower back pain at some point in their lives, according to the evidence. Mm-hmm. How many of those will need specialist referral?
So we think that approximately half of people who experience low back pain will seek care. Out of that proportion that will need specialist care, it's a little bit less clear, but certainly we're seeing a very high prevalence, or very commonly people are being referred for specialist input, particularly when symptoms are not settling within the first 6 weeks.
So the usual practice is the GP or maybe another specialist is referring a patient on to you guys at the hospital.
We're seeing a very a high referral rate to the hospital. And so some of the patients have, it's variable in terms of the duration of symptoms, but we often see people have had symptoms at least for 6 weeks, generally speaking, unless it's very severe, in which case patients either self-refer to an emergency and then the emergency department refers them.
Yes.
Or if it's very severe, the GPs may refer them earlier than that.
And what does a specialist such as yourself, what do you want to see on a referral when a patient walks through the door?
Yeah, so when we conducted this survey, we actually surveyed our surgical colleagues as well.
Right.
And as part of a service redesign we undertook at the hospital about 4 years ago now, we set up this back pain assessment clinic as a central kind of service to really triage and assess patients and work out where the best place to send patients are.
Okay.
Because we do find that a very large proportion of patients get referred into surgical clinics who in fact don't actually require surgery.
Right.
They do need to be assessed and a management plan needs to be instituted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that historically it's less than 10% of patients who actually require surgery. So we're getting very large volumes of referrals. And so I surveyed my surgical colleagues, other rheumatologists, and also our advanced practice physiotherapists who are involved in triaging spinal referrals to the hospital.
Yeah.
We determined that the key common features that all the different specialties would like to see would be things like the location of pain,
mm-hmm.
Whether symptoms are referred into the upper or lower limbs, the presence of weakness, and also looking for really potentially serious causes of spinal pain, which we term red flags. So
yes.
Things like tumour, fractures, infections, and also whether patients had previous spinal surgery as well as being a relevant factor.
Right.
So those were the key things that were common to all the different specialties who are typically involved in spinal pain and managing patients with those type of referrals.
So those are the things you want to see on a referral. What are you actually getting?
So what we were really quite surprised when we started to look at the absolute numbers. So as part of the central triage process, when we look at all of the spinal referrals to the various services,
mm-hmm.
we found that about approximately a quarter of all referrals just mentioned, thank you for seeing this person with pain, with no indication where the pain was, and not much more information beyond that.
Yeah.
And then we found that a very large number of referrals, so over about 80% of patients, were referred with no mention of whether they'd been screened for red flags. It is entirely possible that those patients who had been identified as being having red flags were already referred to the emergency department.
Right.
But certainly it was concerning to see that if it wasn't mentioned, it may have been that patients hadn't been screened for red flags as part of the referral process.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there was a paucity of information regarding examination findings for patients as well.
Is this a clerical problem in the sense that these patients are being properly assessed but the correct information isn't making it onto referral, or are these patients not being correctly assessed from the get-go?
I think it's entirely possible that both factors are in play.
Mm-hmm.
I think that general practice, the nature of general practice is that it's very busy now.
Yeah.
And certainly with where there's a lot of time pressures on GPs, there may be instances where if patients are in a lot of pain particularly, GPs may find it in a time-pressured setting to refer patients on to specialist care,
yes,
and not have the time to examine patients as much as they would like. And certainly when there are time pressures, the ability to transfer or communicate that information in the specialist referral may also not occur as well. So I suppose we're extrapolating from a paper referral. What's actually happening at the coalface in general practice, though, I think there are a lot of factors, and I think time pressure is a big factor in that, and how that's influencing the examination and also the communication of those results in the specialist referral. I think both are probably at play in these referrals.
In an ideal world, how long should a back assessment take?
So if we did, we've actually run, interestingly, GP education courses. And one of the things we teach GPs is how to examine a back in 5 minutes. I think there's always a perception that when you have to examine someone's spinal pain, it's going to take you, you know, a long time. But there are kind of, if you like, shortcuts you can take so that you elicit key clinical factors, such as, you know, making sure you've examined them for lower limb weakness,
yes,
you know, checking for key things like red flags. And we do think it can be done efficiently as long as you know what you're looking out for, and with all things practice. So the more practice you are at it, the more efficient the examination can be, both in terms of history and the physical examination of the patient. So we think, you know, it can be done efficiently within 5 minutes,
yes,
as long as people are kind of aware what are the key factors to eliciting both the history and the examination.
My guest today is Dr. John Moy from the Royal Melbourne Hospital's Back Pain Assessment Clinic. His co-authored research letter can be found at mja.com.au, where it is open access. Is there an easy online tool that GPs can use that will help them do that?
Health Pathways is, a New Zealand innovation,
mm-hmm,
but we've adopted it in Australia. And in Melbourne, Royal Melbourne, among other hospitals, were involved in the adult health pathway for low back pain.
Right.
And on there, we have set up a module for assessment of low back pain, both in terms of history and examination.
Yes.
We would eventually like to have a video up there that we can show to people. But those really highlight the key factors that should be undertaken as part of the initial presentation for someone who's got back pain.
Yes.
And that's a very, we think it's a fairly efficient way of doing it without being too onerous for the clinician seeing patients in general practice.
As you said earlier, you're the director of the Back Pain Assessment Clinic at RMH.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of like a buffer zone between GPs and the appropriate specialist?
We really see it as a bit of a sorting out service.
Right.
Because at the moment we find that a lot of the inefficiencies in the system mean it really arises from two factors.
Mm.
Patients are being often referred to the wrong specialty for their,
yes,
problem. And when we see that happen, there's an enormous backlog and waiting list for patients to be seen. So at our institution, when we audited this information, it's clearly nearly 6 years ago now,
mm-hmm,
we found that patients on average were waiting a median time for about 18 months from the time of a receipt or referral to, you know, getting seen in the clinic.
Wow. So yeah.
Now that sounds like an extraordinary number, but it's not unique to our hospital.
No,
when you look
I'm
at
sure.
other institutions, it's actually very similar, if not longer.
Mm.
So what we're seeing is there's a high volume of referrals, and patients often refer to the wrong service. And surgeons, they are time pressured and want to see time critical things that need an operation.
Yes.
And it's not really their role to be seeing patients who don't have operable conditions. So the back pain clinic, the back clinic as we call it for short, when we set this up, it's really to sort people out, sort out who really needs to see surgeons, and we get them seen really quickly by the surgeons.
Yes.
And who really just needs to be assessed, make sure all the red flag conditions have been excluded, and then start a management plan for patients. And for those patients who really do look like they need a more multidisciplinary approach, like a chronic pain management program,
yeah,
we also refer people to the appropriate service in that instance. People who have inflammatory spinal pain who need rheumatologist input, I refer them back into our rheumatology service. So we find it's a much more efficient model, much better for patient care, And certainly when we evaluated our service and asked patients, they were very happy with that service rather than, you know, waiting a long time to get seen by a surgeon, often nearly close to 2 years, only to be told you don't need surgery for the problem, which you can imagine.
Would drive you mad, yes.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be very frustrating to hear.
Is it a model that other public hospitals in big cities are using?
No, so ours is actually the first service that has been set up like this, we think, in Australia.
Wow.
It's based in the community, so we set it up in our community health service.
Right.
We're trying to move back pain out from the tertiary hospital back into primary care.
Yep.
And it has been a real winner for patients. And, you know, patients find it much more convenient. They find it a lot easier to get parking. You know, hospital parking is always terrible getting into.
Yep.
Hospitals are very busy places, you know, lots of urgent things. And, you know, patients really enjoy that different setting. And, you know, we're actually, I suppose, recognised for our efforts by getting the Victorian Health Award for Innovative Pathways a couple of years ago with the government. So it's a new service, and it's something that we'd hope to replicate over time in other hospitals.
Are you getting interest from other hospitals?
We've actually had a lot of interest. We've had contact from our Queensland colleagues, even from New Zealand. They've come over and sat with us in clinics.
Cool.
And because, you know, back pain is a global problem. It's not unique to Melbourne. It's not unique to Australia.
Yeah.
This is a pressure that countries are facing globally, because back pain is the most common cause of disability worldwide. It's the number one cause of why people show up to emergency departments for musculoskeletal pain, to general practice with musculoskeletal pain. So as a society, we need to really look at new models of care, which really bring the right patient to the right care at the right time. And this is what we're really trying to do with the service. I think the key factors are when GPs are seeing patients at the cold face, you know, giving us those bits of information about where the pain is it travelling beyond the spine, and looking for those red flags, those are really quite critical things. And, you know, talking to my surgical colleagues as well, if people have limb weakness or, you know, red flag causes, we really see them very quickly.
Yeah.
We don't kind of, we really prioritise those type of patients.
Yes.
So if they can remember to do that, it serves them well, their patients well, they'll be seen promptly. And with our service, with the back service, it does allow us to, as I said, to really get patients into the right care as soon as possible.
Thank you for your time, John. I really appreciate it.
A pleasure. Thanks very much, Kate.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.